starts right now.
It don't matter, he's dope, he knows that, but he's pro. He's so stagnant, he knows when he goes back to this mobile home, that's when it's back to the lab again, yo. This old rhapsody better go capture this moment and hope it don't do it. Lose yourself in the music, the moment you own it, you better never let it go. You only get one shot, do not miss your chance.
I'm always telling people, hey, if you see something, tell me something. You know, if you think a story is interesting, share it with me, text me, email me, call me, you know, whatever the case may be. I may not think that it's all that interesting. I may be wrong about that sometimes. I'll just tell you the truth. I was had somebody that was pestering me about the drag queen Christmas thing for a while, and I was like, I don't really want to talk about this. I don't think it's all that big of a deal. Well, you know, talk show hosts make mistakes too. You know, so I did eventually. I'm actually super glad I did, and we had a big conversation. Anyway, this is an example of a story that was shared with me by a citizen who was concerned and wanted to, you know whether I thought that it was worth talking about. And I thought, yeah, it is. And the story is that the West Florida Public Library Board, okay, it's a subsidiary board in Escambia County that oversees the library system, right? The whole library system is governed by them. That includes libraries in the city, in the county. That's something that the county operates and maintains, right? And at their January 26th meeting at the Spring Street Library, the main campus, you know, downtown, big library, they had an agenda. And on the agenda, if you read it over, you would think it's super boring because, you know, the agenda says pledge, any changes, public forum, approval of the minutes, chair's report, branch manager's report, interim director's report, new business, privacy policy, rights and responsibilities, meeting room policy, old business, director of library services position, which they're still looking for. The interim is Christabel Rivera. Open board discussion, future meeting schedule, and adjournment. I might have fallen asleep just reading it, right? And that's all there is on the website, because like a lot of our boards in this area, they post sort of the agenda only and not the backup. The backup is the details, which I think that every board or entity that does any kind of publication of its agenda should publish the backup as well. So if you catch something in here and you're like, well, what exactly does this mean, privacy policy? You should be able to click on that or click on something that brings you all the information. Well, that is not available online. The only reason this came to my attention is because this person happened to have started going to the meetings. You know, a citizen showed up. They're not videoed. Okay. A lot of the board, you know, a lot of the meetings and committees are not, you know, recorded or whatever. So they had this meeting and he was sitting there watching them talk about it. And he had to ask for, I think, the backup material. So he read the backup material and he was surprised because they wound up approving the rights and responsibilities policy change. Now, if you read the rights and responsibilities policy, it's 2 pages long and most of it is, I mean, very simple. You should expect to see yourself and your interests represented in the library collection. You may not have alcohol in the library. You must use a study room to have quiet space when you're available. You know, you can bring a service animal, but not a regular pet. Children under 12 have to be attended. Appropriate clothing. Large items are prohibited. Blocking aisles are prohibited. You know, that a lot of your just ordinary kind of rules that you would think apply to a library. And you get all the way down to the end, and you see that, you know, consuming, possessing, or being under the influence of alcohol or illegal drugs is prohibited. Tobacco, vaping products, marijuana may not be used within 50 feet of the library entrances or exits. This includes cigars, cigarillos, e-cigarettes. Abuse or vandalism of library facilities, equipment, materials, or staff is not permitted. Again, all very simple stuff. Last line, firearms and weapons are not permitted inside the library, except as allowed by state law. Library staff may contact law enforcement if an individual fails to comply with applicable state law or library policy. Now, John, as soon as I read that part, of course, I read it with a little emphasis, your finger went to your mic button because you had something to say. What's your something to say? Go on. You can say it.
State law is we can open carry.
That's right.
So why did you even put that?
That's right.
I just got confused.
That's exactly the right question. Why did the West Florida Public Library Board decide to vote on a policy that is, what's the word I want? Illegal. It's literally illegal according to Florida statute. Unless, and I'm not a lawyer, and sometimes I make mistakes. It's entirely possible. But my read of this is, wait, I thought the state preempted all firearm regulations to themselves in order to prevent cities and counties from passing their own version of the gun laws? Well, they have. It's Florida Statute 790.33, Field of Regulation of Firearms and Ammunition Preempted, in case you wondered what the statute meant. The entire field of regulating guns and ammo is preempted to the state. Only the state may set these rules. I'll read you the actual statute in a second because it'll kind of answer the question. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. Still rolling accident-free right now. I-10, I-110 are still flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Okay, so if you're just joining us, it was given to me, and I have confirmed it with county staff. They didn't know about it beforehand. Just happened at the last meeting, and the minutes for that meeting aren't even posted yet. But I wanted to confirm it. I talked to Casey, who's the new director of communications for the county, CMR. Or you might think of her as the PIO, whatever. And I verified with her, and she verified that this did pass. This is part of it. I don't know if the language on firearms is new or not. It might have been pre-existing. I don't know. But I know it's in the current rule that's been passed. And I know that that's illegal. Or you might say it's against statute, so it's illegal, not unconstitutional. Anyway, field of regulation of firearms and ammunition preempted. Number one, preemption. Except as expressly provided by the state constitution or general law, the legislature hereby declares that it is occupying the whole field of regulation of firearms and ammunition, including the purchase, sale, transfer, taxation, manufacture, ownership, possession, storage, and transportation thereof, to the exclusion of all existing and future county, city, town, or municipal ordinances, or any administrative regulations or rules adopted by local or state governments relating to thereto. Any such existing ordinances, rules, or regulations are hereby declared null and void. So, knowing only that, what do I know about this policy by the library? It's not in effect, because it is pre-nullified by Section 790.33. They go on to explain, it is the intent of this section to provide uniform firearms laws in the state, to declare all ordinances and regulations null and void, which have been enacted by any jurisdictions other than the state and federal, which regulate firearms, ammunition, or components thereof, to prohibit the enactment of any future ordinances or regulations relating to firearms, ammunition, or components thereof, unless specifically authorized by this section or general law, and to require local jurisdictions to mind their own business. Oh, sorry, that's not what it says. To enforce state firearms laws. It is further the intent of this section to deter and prevent the violation of this section and the violation of rights protected under the Constitution and laws of this state related to firearms, ammunition, and components thereof by the abuse of official authority that occurs when enactments are passed in violation of state law or under the color of local or state authority. Prohibitions and penalties. Any person, county, agency, municipality, district, or other entity, like the West Florida Board of Library Board of Directors, other entity that violates the legislature's occupation of the whole field of regulation of firearms and ammunition as declared in subsection 1 by enacting or causing to be enforced any local ordinance or administrative rule or regulation impinging upon such, that means impacting upon, such exclusive occupation of the field shall be liable as set forth herein. There are penalties. There are penalties, particularly for knowing that you shouldn't have done it. If the violation is willful and knowing, the court can assess a civil fine of up to $5,000 against the elected official for knowing they shouldn't have been able to pass anything restricting guns, and they try to. There are other penalties if you go through here. Actual damages occurred, limit of $100,000. There are exceptions dealing with zoning and public safety. And obviously there's a chapter in the Florida statutes that deals with where you can't carry prohibited locations, like at a school or a college campus or at a meeting of the governing body of any entity. You know, you can carry it to the city council chambers generally, but you can't carry it to the city council chambers when the city council is meeting there. For example, police stations and the like. So what's the answer? I mean, the library needs to undo. I mean, period. Now, I get what they're thinking. They're thinking we don't want weapons in the library because kids come here, families come here. We don't want people carrying rifles around inside the library or, you know, carrying their Glocks on their hip around in the library. But that pesky Florida law.
Oh, get you every time.
Which is based on that pesky federal constitution. Conceal carry with or without a permit, as long as you would have been eligible to get a permit in the state of Florida, is legal anywhere it's not prohibited. And it's Places where it's not prohibited are set out in state law. And the library is not one of them. Therefore, nobody can restrict your ability to carry in the library. It's also legal to carry it openly, as we well know. You can carry anywhere that's public property openly or anywhere that is private as long as they allow you. But, of course, that's always been the case. So, yeah, you can carry at the beach. You can carry at the store as long as they don't put up a sign. You can carry in the park. And you can carry in the library, despite the fact that the Library Board of Governance, I keep saying different words for who they are, but, you know, Board of Governors, technically, they don't have the power to prohibit this, and it's illegal for them to have done so. And I would imagine at the next meeting they will, because I know they're listening because I talked to some of them yesterday and said, hey, what's going on? And I assume at the next meeting there will be an agenda item to rescind. Now, look, I don't think it's great to have a lot of people with, you know, knives and
I was going to say nunchucks, but
nunchucks. But I think those are illegal on their own anyway. In the library. And I don't love the idea of the library being, you know, full of the guns. But at the same time, I do love the library being full of the guns. Why? Because I believe in personal carry. I believe in self-defense. I believe that if, God forbid, some bad person comes into the library and wants to do harm to the kids or the other patrons or the books, you know, that I, if I happen to be there, am in a position to help do something about that instead of it being a gun-free zone where we're dependent on the response time of PPD or Escambia Sheriff's Office. Not that they're deficient, but, you know, the cop is minutes away when seconds matter, right? So I think this is pretty cut and dry. 437-1620. John?
I'm thinking this is a great question for the sheriff.
We may talk to him in 15 minutes.
I know. I was trying to do that. But seriously, they said that they were going to call law enforcement.
Yeah.
So.
Now, I should say this. It does say if you firearms and weapons are not permitted inside the library except as allowed by state law. Which they might say, well, if state law allows it, then this is inapplicable. Yeah, then why are you mentioning it at all? Because if it's already prohibited by state law, it's prohibited by state law. And if it's allowed by state law, then it's allowed by state law. What does your mention of it do? And I assume that the intent was, well, you know, we don't really want a bunch of guns in the library, right? It's like a school. Yeah, but it's not a school. And the distinction matters.
As a business owner, you've got a lot on your plate. Managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and our HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Employing made easy. AvalonHR.com.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Famously, the Apostle Paul said, "Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before." What was it that the apostle had to forget? Possibly the fact that before his conversion, he consented to the death of Stephen. Before Paul met Jesus, Paul was a blasphemer and a persecutor, and the Bible says he was injurious, which is the idea of harmful. When Paul says forgetting those things which are behind, he is saying you don't have to let the failures of your past, no matter how devious, define your future. Forget those failures and reach forward to a future full of opportunity to serve Christ. Jesus wants to graciously liberate you from a life of guilt over sin and bad decisions. So call upon him today.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Join Kenny Chartel from Affordable Automotive Gulf Breeze for car care this morning at 10 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Kenny will be sharing his years of expertise on car maintenance, as well as tips and loads of great advice that'll keep your car running in top shape. Whether foreign or domestic, don't miss car care today at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
So, what did I miss today?
Good question.
I'm Andrew McKay.
Chris Bryan.
Austin Price.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Well, there you have it.
You be sweet to him, especially your wife. My husband wasn't sweet to me. Look how I turned out.
If you know that song, you have to let it get to that part. I mean, that's the good part. That's the hook. All right, REM there for you, Lightning Hopkins. 7:25 on News Radio 92.3. Yes, a Thelma and Louise quote. I did watch that movie recently. Rewatch. I hadn't watched it in years and years.
I haven't seen it in years.
Interesting
years.
Movie, by the way. I don't know if I'll talk about it or not, but we'll see. John Pickens, welcome back, John. Good to have you back.
Thank you, sir.
John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
Brought to you by Frontier Motors, the only dealer Dave Ramsey recommends on Pensacola. That's Frontier Motors on Beverly Parkway. No accidents to report to you right now. Looks like I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29 through that construction zone is seeing a 7-minute delay. Also, Highway 90 coming into Pensacola, expect a 9-minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. If you have employees, you have to deal with payroll, you have to deal with HR, you have to deal with health insurance, dental, vision, life, disability, you know, all the things that come with employees, which you want to provide and take care of for them, of course, but it can be a little bit of a, you know, bureaucratic red tape kind of handling all that stuff. And, you know, it's a little bit mathy and a little bit annoying, and maybe you don't like it, and that's understandable. A lot of people don't. But what can you do? Well, call Torgerson Consulting. They can help you with that. They do it for us here at News Radio in Cat Country. We've been using them for about 5 years, and they're great. You know, the healthcare marketplace is what it is. They can't make it better than it is, but they can find us the best available, which they do every year. You know, same for dental, vision, all of that stuff. They take care of us, and they answer our questions. They give us better customer service than we ever had before. I'm a fan. My wife is a fan. And, you know, I know you might, why do I care what Andrew's wife thinks? She's an industrial engineer, okay, and she's very smart. And so she asks a lot of hard questions. And usually the kind of people who are in, like, sales, insurance, kind of that zone, they're salespeople, you know, they're not detail-oriented people, and they don't even know the policies they sell often is common. And she reads them and asks questions, and then they don't know, and she gets annoyed. Well, these folks know it, and she calls and asks, and they know it. And so, you know, she gives them the thumbs up, which is, you know, she does not give that to everybody. More than 20 years in business, Torgerson Consulting, helping people like you run your business better and treat your employees well. 433-9996 or online at tcbenefitsgroup.com. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning. The federal government remains partially shut down. That could change today as the House Rules Committee has cleared the way for a vote to get things back open. Last night, the committee moved forward a funding package approved by the Senate last week. It would fund the government and extend funding for the Department of Homeland Security for 2 weeks. The NBC will be broadcasting part of it, the Super Bowl pregame show from Alcatraz. The island in the San Francisco Bay, of course, most famously served as a prison. It's now a popular tourist site. The show will focus on the island's history from its beginnings as a military reservation to today.
And its use as a storage facility for VX Gas.
Oh, that's from that movie.
Yeah, what's the name of that movie, John?
It's that got movie about Nicholas, that place. John Travolta, Nicolas Cage.
Not John Travolta.
Not Nicolas John Travolta. Cage. Yeah, Nicolas Cage and somebody
Ed
else.
Harris. Yeah. Sean Connery. It's almost like they used the nickname for the island as the name of the movie. David's never seen it, and John is flailing.
Over here, yeah.
Go ahead, David. Let's have our next story. I'll let him twist the wind a little bit.
All right. Well, that sounds good. The defense team
it's
for
not
the
face off. No, that's no. Fun. Okay. Never mind. Sorry. Go ahead. Go ahead, David. Didn't mean to interrupt. I apologize.
No, it's okay. You want to make a few more guesses first, or
no? Well, you know, maybe if okay.
It's The Rock. Go ahead, David. You were never going to get there.
Eventually, I was at like 2 a.m.
So. Go ahead.
Well, the defense team for the man accused of murdering Charlie Kirk says they do not want a trial in secret, but they do want some documents kept private. They're concerned about motions that they make before court. Tyler Robinson's defense lawyers are arguing that the news media is not looking to inform the public, but they say they want to sensationalize the case for profit. Robinson's due back in court later today.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. How do you feel?
Oh, I feel amazing. What about you?
I feel good. So, you know, watching Thelma and Louise is kind of a funny thing because I hadn't watched it in a long, long, long time. And what I remembered about it was that it's kind of like this female empowerment movie. You know, the women free of the oppression of the patriarchy and men, and they finally get liberated, right, and, you know, all that. And it does show a lot of male bad behavior. It does show a lot of bad men, you know, just being stupid or worse. But it's not exactly a feminist movie, if you think about it. Because, and I know you may not remember much of it, but after Thelma and Louise, you know, kill Harlan for roughing up, you know, Thelma outside the bar, and then they go on their wild spree, I mean, they pretty much do every stupid thing you can do. And then the end of it, of course, you know, is they jump, they run off the cliff. So the message seems to be that women freed from the help, support, guidance, and care of men completely implode. It's not exactly the women can run the universe kind of message that the average feminist would want. So I don't think it's really a feminist power movie.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. The desperate search to find Nancy Guthrie, the elderly mother of Today Show host Savannah Guthrie, who's missing in Arizona.
The Pima County Sheriff says given the nature of the crime scene, he believes she was taken by force with evidence pointing in the direction of her being harmed in the process, and it's a race against the clock. The 84-year-old has medical conditions that require medication, and if doses are missed, it can be fatal.
Fox's Alicia Cunha, could the partial government shutdown end today?
Now, a large part of that reason is President Trump decided to get involved. He urged a handful of House Republicans to drop their demand to attach the GOP voter ID law known as the SAVE Act to this package of government spending bills. Speaker Johnson says now just isn't the time for that.
Fox's Bill Malusian on Capitol Hill. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne, and right now we've got 40 degrees with partly cloudy skies. We'll get to our forecast with Brooke Richardson. That is on the way here in just a few moments. The Escambia Children's Trust is implementing stricter policies after the arrests of staff members at one of its service providers. The board voted to prohibit personal use of vehicles purchased with trust dollars, enhance background checks, and tighten audits. Now, this move comes not long after the trust cut ties with New World Believers following the arrest of Hoops program director Rodney Jones.
It's an extra layer of administration, but it has to happen.
Executive Director Lindsay Cannon, the trust suspended more than $900,000 in funding to that program. One nonprofit leader says recent pressure on the trust is unwarranted, and says the organization is exposing problems in the community. A federal judge is temporarily blocking a Trump administration order that would end temporary protected status for Haitian immigrants. The ruling from Washington, D.C. Judge Ana Reyes keeps a lawsuit alive that challenges the termination. Without the court stepping in, Haitian nationals on TPS would have lost their legal status overnight. In Miami, healthcare worker Marie Shirley Sannon says she's lived in the U.S. on TPS now for more than two decades. She says this is her home.
I don't have no place to go in Haiti. I don't have no house. Well, I can't say I don't have no country. The country is finished. Every day people dies.
The judge's order does pause enforcement while that case moves forward. Well, it was a busy Monday at Mahogany Mills Boat Ramp with two incidents there. Pensacola police searched the area for a missing 37-year-old Robin Whitmire with help from a specially trained otter that goes by the name Splash. The Asian small-clawed otter is trained for underwater human remains detection and works with Peace River Search and Rescue. A canine had alerted in the area, but not strong enough to deploy the otter. Whitmire was later found safe with no foul play involved. Also, yesterday morning, the Escambia Sheriff's Office dive team removed what turned out to be an inert training munition from the water near that same boat ramp after reports of a possible torpedo. Well, there's new TSA changes in place. News Radio's Chris Bryan with this report.
New TSA rules now in effect at P&S, and travelers will need a real ID or another approved form of identification to get through airport security. Anyone who shows up without proper ID will be charged a $45 fee to use TSA's identity verification system. TSA says about 94% of travelers already use the real ID system. Now, if you're not sure whether yours qualifies, Florida licenses that meet the federal standard have a star in the upper right-hand corner. Chris Bryan, News Radio 92.3.
Thank you very much, Chris. Well, the Tampa Bay Rays are telling Hillsborough County that they'd cover half the cost for a new baseball stadium in Tampa. According to Commissioner Ken Hagen's office, the sports franchise is hoping they can split the cost with the county by asking it to use public funding sources. This comes now less than a month after the Rays had chosen Hillsborough College's Dale Mabry campus as its preferred stadium site. The team said it would also cover construction cost overruns and future repairs, maintenance, and renovations. It's 7:35 at News Radio 92.3. Let's check in with John Pickens for a look at our traffic on the fives.
Still rolling accident-free right now, but not delay-free on I-10 eastbound between 9 Mile and Highway 29. Expect a 12-minute delay. Also, Highway 90 southbound coming into Pensacola, 9-minute delay in that area. And Highway 29 approaching 9 Mile, expect a 12-minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
We are going to be seeing temperatures today getting into the mid to upper 60s for this afternoon. Partly cloudy skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 55. For Wednesday, 70% chance of showers, especially in the morning and early afternoon. Clearing out as you go into the rest of the day, high near 62. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 32 degrees. As you head into Thursday, sunny skies, high near 51. And Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 35. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. Partly cloudy, we've got 40 degrees. Our next news at 8 o'clock. Breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. President Trump has announced a trade deal with India that slashes U.S. tariffs on the country's goods to 18% from 50%. In exchange, India will halt Russian oil purchases and instead will buy oil from the U.S. and potentially Venezuela. Palantir surged 11% in pre-market trading after beating Wall Street's fourth quarter estimates amid rising spending on AI tools from governments and businesses. The shares popped after it reported roughly $1.4 billion in revenue, which is ahead of the LSEG estimate of $1.3 billion. The Bureau of Labor Statistics said it will not be releasing the January jobs report as scheduled on Friday due to the partial government shutdown. The decision comes ahead of a busy week for economic data that would have culminated with the non-farm payrolls release. Futures are slightly higher Monday. The Dow Industrials gained 515. The NASDAQ up 130. The S&P 500 up 37. That's Your Money Now.
Making the wrong choice can be very costly. Choosing the wrong plumbing company can cost you a lot of money. Hi, I'm Judy Lacey with Barbieri Plumbing, and we've been repairing Pensacola's plumbing problems for over 50 years. We are the local originator of the flat rate pricing system, so you don't have to pay by the hour, and there are no surprises. When you need a plumber, make the right choice and call Barbieri Plumbing. We will make your plumbing great again.
License number RF11067749.
You recognize the smell of marijuana, but it's not just a smell. It's a warning. If you can smell it, harmful chemicals are entering your lungs, bloodstream, and brain, and our children too. Every inhale affects brain development and triples the risk of serious respiratory issues. Protect your kids and grandkids from the dangers of marijuana. Their future is on the line. This message is sponsored by the Department of Children and Families and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. Saturday morning, get your run on in the Double Bridge Run, one of the premier 15K races in the country, going across Pensacola Bay and Santa Rosa Sound. It gets underway at 7. See PensacolaSports.org. It's Mardi Gras fun in Navarre. Saturday beginning at 1 with the annual Crew of Jesters Navarre Mardi Gras Parade. The theme this year is the celebration of 250 years of American independence. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
No opinions, no arguing.
just the news. Right now.
Right now.
Chris Bryant, News Radio 92.3.
I'm Austin Price for News Radio 92.3.
Every few minutes, you get the latest local news, traffic on the fives, weather, and updates you actually need. So whether you're in the car for 5 minutes or 50, you're always caught up. Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin.
Weekdays 4 to 7.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out because I love you too much, baby. Why can't you see?
Good morning, 7:40 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's a Pensacola Morning News. Sheriff Chip Simmons is in Washington, D.C., this week at the National Conference for Sheriffs, and it's good to have you, Sheriff. Welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
I'm good. How is it there? I mean, it's cold here, but not that cold.
It's been cold.
Yeah?
Yeah. No, it's been cold. They have a lot of snow here. In fact, the reflecting pond in front of the Lincoln Memorial was frozen over, and people were playing hockey on it. It's kind of an unusual sight.
Did you go out on the ice?
Yeah. I wasn't playing hockey. Yeah, I tried. I'm not a good ice walker, so I think I'd just stay on the hard surface.
Wait, so you did or didn't go on the ice?
I did.
Okay,
but
good.
I was slipping all over the place.
Okay,
but
all right. Yeah, I think obviously we need a picture for social media of that, so it's kind of cool.
I tried. Let me put it this way. I tried.
All right, fair enough. I'll allow it. Before we get to sheriff stuff per se, although this kind of is, I don't know if you heard this, but we were just kind of breaking the news, I guess, the last half hour that West Florida Board of Governors of the Library Service here in Escambia County in January passed a change to their policies and regulations that now attempts to prohibit firearms and weapons inside the library. It does say except as allowed by state law, but of course, allowed by state law means you shouldn't have a prohibition because they're allowed by state law. At least guns are. And it says staff may contact law enforcement if an individual fails to comply. So if I go into the library with an open carry handgun and the library staff calls you, they tell me, hey, you can't do that. And I say, yes, I can. They call you, what happens?
Well, we'll likely have a pleasant conversation and go about our business, because we went over this, 6-8 months ago when the first DCA overturned the open carry prohibition and allows for open carry and concealed carry in public spaces. And again, I'm not an expert in library funding, but as I understand it, they're funded by tax dollars, mm-hmm. which in my book makes them a public place. And, We will treat it as such.
So you guys typically respond to a call, but you're going to come, you're going to talk to me, I'm going to talk to you, and then you're going to talk to them, and that'll be it.
That's correct.
All right, fair enough. That's what I figured. But I always like to check with the law enforcement officer because, you know, they kind of put you on the line by saying they were going to contact you. And I assume same for PPD, although you don't speak for them. I'm sure the message would be the same. Let's talk about a couple of things that have happened here locally. We had a case last week of two abandoned dogs on Beck's Lake Road.
Yeah, we had a pretty alert deputy. He noticed that there was a truck traveling up in that area with two dogs in the back and just took note of it, I guess, because it's cold or because it's a rare sight, I guess. And then a little bit later on, he saw that the dogs, but the dogs were no longer in the back of the truck, which, again, they could have been dropping dogs off, could have been doing different things. But he decided he'd go and check it out. And then an individual told him that they had seen him drop the dogs off without food or water and then just take off. The deputy was able to get the dogs in the back of the police car, and we took the dogs to Animal Welfare, Escambia County Animal Welfare, and ended up tracking this guy down, arresting him for animal cruelty.
Good work. I mean, a terrible thing happens, and good work that you guys solved it. We also had a series of armed robberies, but I guess it turned out to be he was robbing them with employees, but with a fake gun. Is that right?
Ultimately, that's what it found out. But if you're the one being robbed, you don't know if it's a real gun or a fake gun, and
right.
You can certainly get charged with it, and you can also get shot by carrying a fake gun. In this situation, our deputies did a really good job of tracking down some information. What we used is some of the cameras that we have and license plate readers and our analysts look back and try to see if that same type of a vehicle was in all three locations. To make a long story short, we were able to develop a vehicle, to be able to also develop a suspect. And I believe the suspect had just gotten out of prison back in October when him and a cohort were arrested for, robbery, I believe. So, wow. And it was a good job by our guys. And, again, it was a fake gun, but I don't know that certainly don't matter to me. You can still get yourself in trouble.
Well, my understanding, you correct me if I'm wrong, is that if you engage in an armed robbery with a fake gun, the penalties are no different than if you had taken an actual gun. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay. Other than you might not be subject to the same, like if you're a felon, possession of a fake firearm, is that even illegal? It's not illegal to own a non-firearm if you're a felon, right? Like an airsoft or something.
Yeah, I think it's the intent. What are you using it for? Again, you can't be robbing people with it, or you can't act as if it's a real gun.
Got it.
And display it as if it's a real gun. But that's if it's fake, it's not a real gun.
And also to point to the value of the database that you guys keep of the license plate, the license plate readers that. You keep that for what? It's 30 days, if I'm not mistaken, and then you can query it.
That's
so if somebody reports a crime, you can look back over the time frame within that 30 days and query it, which is why you were able to find, to put the pieces together to find this person based on the license plate data, right?
That's correct. And remember, this license plate readers are only on public roadways. And yes, it's only for 30 days, and then it is dropped off the system.
Very good. We're talking to Sheriff Chip Simmons, Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons in Washington, D.C. right now. We'll come back to him in just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
No accidents to report to you right now, but if you're on I-10 eastbound, right around the Pine Forest area, expect a 7-minute delay. Highway 29 southbound, a 9-minute delay, and Highway 90 coming into Pensacola, about a 15-minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Sheriff Simmons. Sheriff Simmons, your agency has done a very good piece of work this last couple of days in answering the question of if a bomb is in the water, is it a bomb or a torpedo, right?
Yeah. We get a call that there's this we get a call as a torpedo. So we report that, what we got the call about, and it said torpedo. So it's kind of funny to me that we had a lot of these comments saying, that's not a torpedo, that's this and that. Well, thank you, Admiral. All we're doing was reporting what is reported to us, and we are not experts in ordnance or bombs or rockets or any of that sort of thing. All we know is that when we see it, let's not touch that, and let's call the experts, which is what we did. And come to find out, yes, it looks like one of those training ordnance things they drop from airplanes. And so, fortunately, that's what it was. No one was injured, and much to do about nothing.
Very good. Well, which is, still good work, obviously. That's the point is we live in an area where there's been a lot of ordnance dropped, a lot of training missions, and and even obviously during wars and all the other kinds of things. So it's good that you guys are available to take care of that stuff. You guys are in D.C. What are you working on? Because you're up there not just you're there for the conference, which is good. In fact, you're presenting at the conference, right?
Yeah, we were asked to present on a lot of our engagement initiatives. So that was an honor for us to present to the nation's sheriff. So we did that earlier this week, and today we're about to head over to the Capitol just to talk about a couple things.
Well, hold on. What did you present on? I mean, was it like Blazer Academy? Was it community outreach? Was it like you guys do a lot of things? What were you presenting on?
It was about the Blazer Academy, our Dream Big program, about our movie nights. I guess because we see it every day and we do it every day, we don't understand that that's not the way it is in other parts of the country. And they were really interested in how we went about it, how we funded it. And so we obviously brought a pretty good PowerPoint. And, we had my chief of staff, Whitney Lucas, was with me. Chief Deputy Tommy Leiter was with me. And we answered all the questions that we could.
I love it. I'm trying to picture. I know, I think it was when you were at PPD and body cameras was one of the first agencies to use them and you pioneered that. And the Blazer Academy has obviously been a huge success. The idea of that becoming kind of a nationwide norm is so exciting. because of what it can mean for those kids, what it can mean for crime avoidance, for, you know, deferment ahead of time for the criminal justice system, sort of all the things. I love it. I hope a lot of people take you up on it, start doing it, and, you know, succeed with it. But you said you're heading over to the Capitol today because you're going to engage in a little bit of lobbying. Is that right?
Yeah. We're going to meet with our local delegation. We're kind of divide and conquer. One of the things, even though we don't run the jail, one of the things that we're going to push for them to approve is what they call the Reentry Act, which would increase access to Medicaid-covered services and allow for basically continuity of care for those inmates that when they get incarcerated. And the paperwork that I have shows 60% of the jail population is suffering from mental health issues. And if you recall, when I was the chief corrections officer, we did a point in time, more or less, and about two-thirds or 66% of the inmates that were there were in the infirmary were there for mental health type of issues. So the numbers are staying up high, and we're going to push for them to increase access to Medicaid. And also a couple of things I want to talk about. One is some regulation on the market of crypto kiosks. There are a lot of people don't know it, but there are a lot of these kiosks in small convenience stores and gas stations. And I don't know that I've ever heard anyone buying cryptocurrency from there unless you're a criminal. Now, there may be some legitimate reasons, but this ATM Fraud Prevention Act would regulate the market and maybe help help people from being victimized by some of these elderly scams.
Yeah, it's interesting. You mentioned that the crypto kiosks and I mean, I have no idea. I'm not into all of the stuff, and so I wouldn't have known if it were. But I know there's ATMs, but that's it. I would not have even been able to tell you that there were crypto kiosks at the Circle K. So that's just okay. But I can see how it could be, you know, used nefariously, obviously, and that's what you're trying to prevent. You also had a thing you're working on with rental scams. Is that right?
Hey, yeah, I do want to make mention a lot of the scams that we're hearing about are people claiming to be in law enforcement and saying you owe us money or you missed a court date and you have to pay a fine. And what they will do is they will tell them to stop by this convenience store or that convenience store or a little cigarette shop, and that's where they would pay in Bitcoin. So that's where that's coming from. So, but also in relating to scams, we have been seeing an uptick in rental scams, basically someone trying to rent a house that does not belong to them. And a lot of these things you can just be aware of. The first thing is pressuring you to do it quickly and or paying through debit card type things or even Bitcoin. Those are obviously concerns that it might be a rental scam. There's no in-person meetings. We've got this listed on our social media platform, so you can take a look at it and some things to watch out for. If they don't want to meet with you in person, that's a red flag. There's no lease or paperwork. That's a red flag. The pressure to act, as I mentioned before. And one thing is unrealistically low rent prices. It's that thing where if it seems too good to be true, it probably is.
Right. No, that's a good point. And if you're ever wondering whether somebody, you know, if you ever have doubts about whether somebody is the authorized, leaseor, you could always look up on the property records. You could look up in the Escambia County property appraisers. You look up who owns the house, and you can verify them with an ID. I mean, if it really comes to that point, right?
Yeah, or you can call us. I mean, you could call us and ask us to check it out if you're suspicious of something. Or like you said, you can check the property appraiser's office. That's a quick and easy way. They have a pretty good access, and you can do some checking on your own. Again, I think they're preying on these, you know, certainly young adults that are looking for a place to live. And if they see something really cheap, they try to jump on it and in a hurry before someone else beats them to it. And unfortunately, we've been seeing some of these scams.
And by the way, as the sheriff was mentioning, there is a Facebook post that you guys have on your Escambia County Sheriff's Office. I'll share it over to our news radio as well. But, you know, unusual methods of payment, no lease or paperwork, unrealistically low rent price, too good to be true, pressure to act fast, no in-person meeting, all good, you know, red flags. Any one of those is probably enough to be concerned, more than one. And, almost certainly you're dealing with something that's, not above board. And I appreciate that. Hey, just a quick thing. You were talking about the mental health in the jail, and you know, I know you're in a unique position, having been the sheriff, having also worked for the county, and as you were the deputy city county administrator over, particularly, you were over the jail, and now, of course, you're the sheriff. Maybe it's a longer conversation, but Is there big reform that should take place to somehow separate, you know, what I might call ordinary criminals from people with mental health challenges or the multiple kinds, and in partnership maybe with Lakeview? I'm just, yeah, I know this is too much of a question to answer in a short period of time, but you have this kind of unique position. Do you see ways that this could all be managed better and or cheaper?
You know, there are a lot of things that are taking place in the local jails and even in state jails where there is some separation. There are programs. There are licensed mental health counselors at the jail. I say that there was, and I'm assuming that they still have these programs available to them. Is there more that can be done? I think these legislation like this would allow for an enhanced direction regarding those that have a mental health concern. I'm not saying that they should get off of the crime that they committed. I'm just saying that if there's some way you can get them back on their feet, so that when they do get out, they don't reoffend would be certainly beneficial.
Yeah, I know. Agree with all of that. Transition after and trying to, you know, fix the problem so it doesn't happen again. Preventing recidivism is a huge goal. Chip Simmons, he is Escambia County Sheriff in D.C. right now for the National Sheriff's Conference on Training, presenting stuff and lobbying and doing all kinds of good stuff on our behalf and enduring the cold and the slippery ice at the reflecting pool. Sheriff, as always, thank you for the time. We'll talk to you next week. Safe travels coming home.
You bet. Y'all take care.
7:55, News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. Still no accidents to report to you this morning. I-10 eastbound right around the Pine Forest area, experiencing about a 7-minute delay as you approach Highway 29. And Highway 90 southbound, a 12-minute delay coming into Pensacola. And that's all the delays I'm seeing right now. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. If you need heating work, air conditioning work, right now probably heating more so than air conditioning, plumbing, also right now with the freezes that have been happening, maybe you didn't do the right thing and drip, but okay. Generator work could be, I don't know, Peden. They take care of all of that stuff. They can help you. They've been all along the Gulf Coast since 1969, expanding all the way to Tallahassee and to Mobile across the time zone and the state line, east and west. Good quality products, good installation, trained people that give you 100% satisfaction guarantee, so you know they're going to do the work right. Also, right now, if you are thinking ahead and wanting to save some money and know you need a new air conditioning system, you can beat the annual regulatory price bump. You know, it costs more to comply with the new regulations that go into effect January 1st with Peden's New Year Old Stock Sale. Take up to $1,500 off remaining 2025 air conditioning systems before they're gone. Call or book online at Peden, PEDEN.com.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us on Friday with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, hear from local community leaders on how Sunny's Barbecue is helping to build a strong Pensacola. With four Sunny's locations serving the News Radio listening area, Navy Boulevard, Pine Forest, 9th Avenue, and Pace. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
Healing can start with a single seed.
A single space.
A single act of kindness.
I'm Lieutenant Kilgan with Escambia County Sheriff's Office. For over 20 years in Pensacola law enforcement, I've seen heartbreaking child abuse cases.
Gulf Coast Kids House provides therapy to help these children recover.
That's why Leadership Pensacola's Class of 2026 is assisting Gulf Coast Kids House in creating a healing garden to support their therapists.
Your support today helps plant seeds of healing for tomorrow.
Visit PensacolaChamber.com to donate to the LEAP Class Project.
The Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay, weekdays 5 to 9 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Informative, local, dependable.
No sir for you. Come back 1 year. Next.
I don't know why, but I have just kind of recently started listening more to some of my old, like, 70s classic rock stuff. I was listening to Point of No Return last night by Kansas. Ah, it's such a good album. A little ELO there for you right on top of the Soup Nazi. Oh, by the way, I don't think it's going to wind up being relevant to the conversation we've been having about the library passing this regulation relating to firearms. Which I don't know what their policy was before. I mean, heck, their policy before might have been more strict. You know, I don't know. I just know that this policy is not legal, prohibiting firearms, at the library, which, of course, the sheriff says if you call us, we're going to say the same thing. But they do have a special meeting this morning, but I don't think they're going to take it up because it's like it's a special called meeting for their director hire or they're working on. And so I don't know that you can add on an item like that at a special meeting for a different purpose. I think the special meetings have to be for that particular purpose only. It could be my parliamentary procedure is kind of right at its limit on that question. David Wayne is in the newsroom with a headline or two for us. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Don Lemon discussed his arrest on Jimmy Kimmel Live Monday. The former CNN anchor was, of course, arrested last week on charges related to protesters interrupting that church in Minneapolis. Lemon says he had offered to turn himself in, but he believes he was arrested at his hotel in an effort to embarrass him. The FBI now joining the investigation into the disappearance of Today Show host Savannah Guthrie's mother. 84-year-old Nancy Guthrie was reported missing over the weekend outside of Tucson, Arizona. And law enforcement officials there say her home is a crime scene. They believe she was taken against her will.
All right, David. Coming up next, we'll talk with City Manager Sam Abel from Gulf Breeze about some of the historical questions around Gulf Breeze and the branding changes and this crazy Senate Bill 948 that attempts to change all the zoning in the state.
Local news every